Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, you know what time it is. It's Monday night. And I hope your mind is free, so your behind will follow.
Yeah.
my goodness. I had to turn that off. I was starting to get too good. Hawk of Fire creates love desire. Makes a heart grow so cold. That is the way of the world. But you got to free yourself from that, y'all. This is called Free Your Mind Monday. And we're going to free ourselves of some of the rhetoric, foolishness, and things that are going on in this crazy world. But we must report as we are being told, because it is at that time frame. I thank everybody for joining us. Thank everybody who's been listening. I really mean that. We are really starting to reach some people out here. It's not me, it's you. It's y'all who listening. Keep the message going. Give everybody the information, drivebonesconnection.com. Go to the website. We have a plethora of information. I told y'all I was going to bring it all over. Y'all go on the website now, and y'all going to enjoy what y'all see. We ain't playing with them this, y'all. But where do I start? Oh, my. Well, first, let me just say, to the Miami Heat, you had a great year, four of the magnificent years, and we enjoyed listening to you and watching you here in Miami, as you had held the throne for quite a long time. So now you have to rebuild. So we all must get by that. That's what we are going through here in Miami. But in reality, that is nothing to what the world is going through. So into the real world. I had the pleasure of meeting so many people this weekend. I must give a shout out to Keisha and Gael for bringing Dr. Booker T. Coleman from Hidden Colors fame, and he was here at the Broward Museum, Old Dillard Museum. I think everybody was in the area. Please go to the Dillard Museum. It is very nice. It is very nice looking. You will be surprised at some of the artifacts they have in there. Quite impressive. And it's not rarely do you see a museum that is kept up as nice and neat as this, especially dealing with our people, and I hate to say it like that, but they're doing a magnificent job. So go up there and patronize and see what it used to look like and see if it can come back to that. So I thank them. Her organization, Movement Change, not to be mistaken for Movement for Change, which is in St. Pete. We'll get to that later, but Movement Change here in Fort Lauderdale area did a magnificent job by Body of Soul. I thought it was a great event. The weekend it did, y'all did a superb job. And I believe to be recommended. It was very nice and a good turnout for every one of it. But we hope to get Brother Booker T on here next week. We are not confirmed yet, but he did tell me in front of people that he will come on. So we will have pictures up with us and Dr. Booker T Coleman. And let me tell you, he did an excellent presentation on the curriculum. But, you know, we're going to have to get even deeper than that. It's to a point where we're going to have to look at even our curriculums. And we're going to get into that as we get into this subject tonight, even though it's Free Your Mind Monday. We have to start asking questions, y'all. People are asking, what can we do? Now, tonight, what I'm going to do is what I believe I have not seen anybody do, not even educators. I'm asking you tonight, what form of government do you want? Now, there's 169 forms of different types of government. But before I get into anything of that government, I'm going to the ancients. Because that's where it's at. Even these events that we went to, Dr. Booker T. Coleman, he has a name. I'm going to mess it up, so I'm not even going to try to say it. But it's let me just see if I can say it down here. It's Karimba. I'm just going to say that much, Karimba. But he was talking Kemetic. He went through all this pretty much in a slight matter, got through all the sciences as best he could. He worked the crowd very well because this was a crowd that had children in it, so he really was educating at the same time adults and children, which is a hard thing to do, so we give him credit for that. He was able to do both levels at the same time. And he brought into some of the information that we needed to hear that we can create our own curriculum, but a curriculum is a very strange word and should be looked at. Curriculum has to do a lot with circulation because it's going to be circular. But follow this and come back home because he brought this up too. You can never get away. And I get upset when people say, oh, you don't go into the spiritual. How spiritual do I have to get more than the Mayat? I say it every show, everybody, to bring back the ancients. The brother that was up there gave an excellent libation one of the best. He did a spiritual libation. Now, I'm going to start to get deep now. I can't handle it no more. Word spiritual has ritual in it. Okay? When you spiritual, you do rituals. And if you do not understand that, you will not understand where we are going tonight. I have some guests coming on tonight. My favorite, I got, hope she's out there. I'm looking for them now. I got Brother Sean from the Air Force, and I got Lieutenant Dorothy. She should be coming on with us. She brought some excellent information, what's going on out there. And it's something to be looked at, everybody. Also, I just want everybody to realize the Maya, truth, justice, harmony, balance, reciprocity, order, and righteousness. I'm going to say it the way we say it. These are the basic principles of morality, which enables our ancestors to provide this world with the science of astronomy, agriculture, medicine, arts, and most of humanities. Brotherhood and sisterhood will be these principles. Now, he mentioned the Maya. He said about how it is to be used as a balancing of the scales of which direction we are going. And the question is, he went through left brain, right brain. Remember we did a show on left brain, right brain? Even though the brain is together, it has to be merged. That is what is called the transfiguration, which is what we are all trying to obtain. Now, let's get deeper than that, because I had enough of these places where I do go to and I enjoy them, but people, let me just say this. Dr. Ngimi just gave me some information where I will be announcing today. Matter of fact, let me announce that now before you get me. Dr. Ngimi gave, I'm going to have it up. And for those of you who really want to know what's going on, and go to my to the website, you will look up the news and world news. How many of y'all know that the Ebola crisis going on in Senegal? How many of y'all know that? Ebola. They are running to the border. They will not let them in because of this Ebola virus that's in the African country of Senegal and Guinea. So you see that the show we have on quiet weapons, or secret war, quiet weapons, where they are don't need a military force per se to create war. And you keep thinking you got to see military. Okay? You don't. That is serious. How many of y'all know, go to Dry Bones Connection News on the world scene, that they have FEMA camps that have now opened in Arizona to house many of the migrants that are fleeing over the border. Check it out for yourself. This is live news footage. Because even though we tamper with stuff on the internet and so forth, whatever goes on that website is checked out thoroughly, and you will not find any flaws. Go check it out to prove me wrong. How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all know that Haitian workers are now being enslaved to build the Brazilian stadiums? How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all know this, that this is going on? You haven't a clue. And if you do, help me out tonight, because I need all the help we can get tonight to reach more people. How many of y'all know they're building stadiums? Now, we just got word, we will show this word, that the stadiums in Brazil put in the rainforest have been found out to be used as holding centers once all the hoopla is over with. Because if you do not remember, scientific management, the show we did a while back, said they would produce different events to create the type of things they are doing. How many of y'all know that right now? If you go to our Dry Bones Connection website, you will see HARP. We have Dutch Sense. Dutch Sense is one of the best meteorologists out there. Him and his crew travel all over the country to get seismographic radio waves of where HARP can possibly be. And guess where they were located at, everybody? In the heartland. HARP transmissions are going up, and they just had tremendous tornadoes that can now damage the crops that we'll be waiting for in the next few months to eat. Are you listening? It is behooves you to go and get as much survival food as possible. Not to frighten you, but to let you know storms are being used now. We showed you weather modification. We are beyond paperwork now, y'all. You can get into paperwork. I don't have a problem. But the elevation we're going to be talking tonight is beyond paperwork. Now, we've been asking, what kind of government is this? What can we do? How many of y'all knew it was 100? I'm going to give it to you, and we're going to get deep into heaviness. There's 169 different type of government. Y'all got me? 169. Of government suggested that might be a little too simplistic. Each of the following words I'm going to talk about will form a government of type, of leadership, by a certain kind of person or institution. Everyone seems to want to be a ruler today, you know, or the gig of being a ruler, a saint, a mother, a beggar, a prostitute. You know how it is. Everybody wants to rule. Because when you're a prostitute, you rule with the sacred phenomena, but you have aborted it to which is called the witchcraft of the concubine. That's why men had many concubines back in the day. Because they practiced the five senses of sex. Sex magic. Now, for those of you claiming to be etymologists, listen carefully. These governments are going to have a prefix only of archy, meaning rulership, or kreosy, like democracy, or anarchy. Now, here we're going to go. Tonight, not many of our scholars have ever taught you about what government would take place just in case of a collapse. And what will be the precursor of a government and a mindset that we get. And I'm going to go through some of these, and I'm going to bring on my guests, and we're going to talk about what's going on another level. But here we go. Y'all bear with me. Ain't going to be long. For those of you who say, I don't want no government, I don't want nobody paying no taxes, I don't want nothing, you are an anarchist. You don't want government at all. So if you are an anarchist or in an anarchy, find you an anarchist group, okay? Because these are the things you need to find out. I'm going to read something you wouldn't even believe. It says you wouldn't have a clue to some of these things. And you go and click onto the website, or you can click on to get all the 179 different words. I'm going to give you something that you know. These are the things that you are in. A corpocracy. Corpocracy. Mean government by corporate bureaucracy. You don't think you in that now? You in a corporate bureaucracy right now as we speak. And we're going to prove to you how it was set up. And I'm going to read a quote from one of my favorite people. And his name is Edgar Allan Poe. You remember the Benjamin. You know, Vincent Price used to pay those movies back in the day. And here's one of his quotes. It says, sometimes the best hiding place is in one plain sight. What they have done is so cunning, so smooth, it is in plain sight. Everybody, listen carefully. I'm going to name a few governments, and I'm going to name some of the governments that you are thinking at. How about a cryptocracy? That means secret rulership. Okay, you also know democracy, government of the people. How about a democracy? Government by a demon. A lot of demons. And my people, did you know we had a government for slaves too? It's called a Duhoxy. D-O-U-L-O-C-R-A-C-Y. It means government by slaves. That means slaves had a government and or could perform government. Understand that. You could have the ecclesiastical. Government by clerics or ecclesiastical authority. You know these already. See, these are the ones they have put in you all the time. Being that you are ruled at this time by a papacy, which is in here too. You go look these words up, they are words. I'm not making this up. I've looked at every single one I did. It says, how about this? And this one you should be highly afraid of, or at least be suspect of why this person would call himself this. How about a Jesuitocracy? Jebusitocracy means government by Jesuits. Did you know that? That they have a government too. These jurisdictions are all over the earth being manifest on a daily basis. I'm going to name some more. Here's my favorite though, I'm going to be honest with you. We never had a government. So if something was to happen, y'all, this would be the government I would probably try to go to or try to create. A mesocracy. Meso means M-E-S-O-C-R-A-C-Y. It means government by the middle class. I think I might like that. Government by the middle class. Those of you who are on the internet, You can go to the website of Blog Talk OE Dry Bones and look at the slideshow. I think it would be quite interesting to see my slideshow. Quite interesting. How about this one, y'all? You know you're being done by this one. It's called a plutocracy, meaning government by the wealthy. That has always existed. But I'm going to try to find one for us that can be befitting. Because I want y'all to realize no one has ever taught us governmental rulership names to say what would be a government that we would want. Why would we want that? You've been taught a theocracy. Theocracy means a government. That's what it means, a government by priest, not by God. See, we've been lied to. It's not by God. A theocracy is a government by priest or by religious law. That means men are in charge. Meaning they can make up this rule and say all that they want. And then you have one of my favorites, a slaveocracy. A slaveocracy is a government by slave owners. See how all this was, see, these are actual words of law. So all you who enter the law, look up that. Because that's how we beat slavery, by knowing what the type of jurisdiction name, and they got 168 of these names all through their law of government. Then you got squattercracy. That means you can have a government of squatters. They create a government of squatters. So if you like to squat around, get together and create a government. Okay? This is how this thing is working. Because we do not know, many of us have never been taught, we don't never have a political science educator. So those of you who are talking about bringing in a legitimate curriculum, we need to have education of foundation of government 101 to find out what philosophy will we want to go with. We have matriarch. That, you know that already. Many of y'all know matriarch is women. How many of y'all men be really be ready to be really ruled by some women? Really, be honest with yourself. Can you handle that? Well, you'll be able to handle it soon because Hillary Clinton is going to be the grand witch of the wicked witch of the West. She's next. So prepare yourself for the silver slippers. Okay, now, I'm going to hit this up right quick so y'all know where we're going to go. And I see the guests are there, so I'll see y'all. Stay there with me, y'all. I'm bringing on this soon. You hear so much talk, everybody, about this corporate government. First of all, it's not even a corporate government we've been lied to. Again, it's a corporate military government. Eisenhower told you it was military-industrial complex. Gil Scott-Heron made a wonderful song called it. And everybody has known it. And here is how long, because it's been in plain sight. When you call on the first president, claim president, I can go back, but I ain't go back to the Confederation because that's another concept. His name is General George Washington. Those of you who know law, those of you who profess to be interested in law, the time when you name a person a general in a government means he is automatically a dictator. Prove it wrong. Military terms are used to describe every designated office in this so-called military. He is called the commander-in-chief, the attorney general auditor, Secretary General, Postmaster General, and Surgeon General. Every office is supervised by a military general. Do you understand that? You can play games if you know politics, but I ask you, can you disprove that tonight? Can you disprove that? Then, old George, he was so corrupt that the Lord Alton, 1887 says, when he seen what he was about to do, he said, power corrupts absolute. Power corrupts absolutely. He made himself the emperor and king of America by calling himself the first lodge in which he and the royal family of Europe was highly involved in. Of course, this is the company that I'm going to name, if you look it up, that is ruling the soils of America that you sit your feet on It is called LUMICORP. They have been operating under the Virginia company out of Virginia, and they have never left, and they are not planning on leaving because they feel they are, what type of government? Let me see what type of government that is. Hold on, let me see. Oligarchy. Look at that. Oligarch government is what is being placed out here. And let me just tell you what oligarchy is so you know, you won't think I'm making stuff up. And it's quite used a lot. It's really one of those things where you say to myself, man, how did they pull this off? It's a government by the rich, a few influential rich people. But that's not all. Let me give you the last bit. I'm going to bring in Lieutenant Dorothy and my brother Sean. That's not all they did. All right, let me bring y'all in because they're trying to play with me. Let me get y'all right here. Brother Sean. Brother Sean, you
yeah,
hear
me? Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, yeah, I'm bringing Brother Sister Dorothy. They tried to get me, y'all, but we got back on. So now I got Sean on. Sean, anything happened, you stay in the mix. I'm going to keep it going. All right. During this time, y'all, these created governments were doing all kind of acts that you should look up, y'all. I don't want to give it all to you tonight, but I suggest by me telling you that you are under a general for all this time and plundering our faces, and we cannot see the handwriting on the wall, that truly fulfills the prophetic prophecy. They will have eyes and cannot see and have ears and cannot hear. That means everybody. That means those who say, oh, I got it, I know. No, it says even the very elect, elect, will be deceived. They're not joking. They have mastered a deception unreal. Now, I'm going to go into the last part. I'm on 2 minutes, y'all. 2 minutes. I'm bringing in in 2 minutes. Everybody, 2 minutes. Because I put this together. Here's the part I want you to understand. They got it from the Iroquois Confederacy. That's out of New York. Once you look up the Iroquois Confederacy, all they did was adopted some of the things that they had in there. But it was all a trick. Because they knew they had planned on doing this. They said they knew they were going to usurp the 13th Amendment. Now, anybody should have more sense. No, the number 13. That's like the 13th Amendment. They skipped over the 13th and put the 14th on us. And they written the 14th into the 13th position. Hope y'all listening. And by them doing that, they had usurped the original organic constitution, which had forbidden lawyers to be holding a seat in government. And because this has happened, and we have now no checks and balances, they have run them up. And you talk about loving Africa. And all you was at that seminar and talk about that. We talk about Africa all day. And I just told you Africa is under attack by Ebola. You know how you watch the movies and they be eating the skin up? Go to the website so you can see the skin being eaten up. Maybe that might shake your brain to see that they are using genocide. Now, paperwork don't help genocide. Understand that. Mindsets help prevent genocide. Mindset. And like I said before, we're going to get this thing heavy. I'm going to bring in Brother Sean. Brother, good to have you on again, as usual. We had a hell of a week of information. Me and you talked about a lot of things going on. And we just want to tell people today, we're going to give a class tonight on what I'm talking about, but I'm going to let you go a little bit. Tell us what you've been finding out and what's been going on.
Well, thank you for, and it's good to be back with you on the show, Brother Dry Bones. You know, over the past few weeks, myself, I've been working on some things, you know, in my spare time and certainly trying to make a concerted effort along to what you've been doing, working with members in the community to try to get more information out, try to provide more people with the resources and the tools they need to to make progress in this survival of the fittest day and time that we're living in. And I think, you know, we're seeing more and more acts of desperation, you know, even amongst, you know, members within our community, just to survive. And, you know, recently on the news, we were talking about the children from Mexico that just literally flooded the border with immigrants.
Flooded the border. Thank you.
And so, you know, whether those children were genuine, you know, genuinely fleeing their country, fleeing Mexico and looking to make a better life for themselves. And there was another story such that the another agenda to it, that the drug cartels had actually, you know, utilized a tactic to try to occupy the U.S. Border Patrol and law enforcement along the border to create a diversion, if you will, diversionary tactic to allow drugs to make it across the border while they were preoccupied with these children that were making it across. So, like I said, you know, just every day you hear about acts of desperation where people are utilizing, you know, different methods to either get rich or die trying.
Hold on, man. Let me stop you, because, see, I got 68 governments, and that government you just said about the drug cartel, that is called a narcotocracy. I'm saying it wrong, but I'm going to say it. Narcotocracy. That's narcotocracy. That means a government by those who profit from the trade of illegal drugs. See, that's why the Mexican people in the government said, hey, we are narcocracy. We're going to have a government based off narcotics. And if you want to get serious, y'all, about the number one economy in the black neighborhoods together, I ain't trying to say there's no businesses, but as a whole, that is the type of government we have, if you want to get serious on statistics. Go ahead, bro.
Exactly. And so, you know, there are other world governments that do. You know that they are engaged in drug trafficking. There are some countries in which drugs that are illegal here in the United States are perfectly legal. Cocaine is legal in Bolivia, and so some other countries where the heroin and things like that are grown legally. So, like I said, we're seeing these, or everyone should be aware of these global attempts to accumulate resources, no matter, you know, what industry, no matter what, you know, form of agriculture or technology. And so you know, like you mentioned, you know, well, here, what kind of resources do we have here, you know, at home in a community within our neighborhoods? Because so many people, oftentimes we know we're dealing with the unemployment problem here, you know, in the country, and certainly diminishing wages. And so along those lines, that's why I had developed a website to provide, you know, employment resources and things like that to keep people informed more.
Give the name, man. Give the name of the website.
The website is selfemploymentathome.com. That's selfemploymentathome. Okay. And so just go on the website, check it out, surf, you know, take a look through some of the tabs and things like that.
Yeah, and I want to say that too, because people, there are those of you who are computer savvy, there's jobs on the computer for part-timers. Try to find them. They're out there, because I'm going to say this. When the floodgates open, they're preparing you. These are FEMA camps. They have a setting. They're in Arizona, y'all. FEMA camps. Not like we used to say, oh, they don't FEMA camps. They don't FEMA camps. These are being told as FEMA camps in the newscast. So I think y'all better take a look at this. And I'm going to say something like quick, but I'm going to segue Dorothy in now. Let's see how hypocritical this country could be or this corporation or this military, whatever you really deal with it as. It says, the number one crop grown by the founding fathers was hemp, marijuana. Now they got it as a Schedule One drug. But this was the number one drug. And look what this stuff can make. It can make road flags. Y'all know this. Clothes and sale. They say that the Constitution, the original Declaration of Constitution is actually written on hemp paper. They can smoke it if they want to. So this is what's going on. Let me go ahead, Dorothy. Come in here, Dorothy, and help us out a little bit.
Hi, how are you?
Good to hear you.
Boy, it's like you've already painted half of the wall and you want me to kind of put my hands in different places. Okay, let me see if what I can do.
Go ahead.
With your brilliant coloration already. First off, let me give you a little bit of my background. I was military, an officer and a captain. I have a law enforcement background, undergrad in political science, a master's in public administration, which is advanced political awareness, federal contracting background. I also worked in Y2K for hospitals, banking industries, software industries that included also education systems and making sure that your children were supposed to be protected. I also was employed by FEMA Homeland Security and was in and at headquarters locations of Hurricane Katrina in Mississippi, directly involved in all the interesting stuff that was going on. And I was a planner in the state of Arizona for the largest anti-terrorist exercise in the world, which included the President of the United States in 2004, his upper cabinet members, as well as international bodies to make sure that supposedly real bad guys aren't doing bad things. Now, having said all that, let me also say, number one, there is a term of upper bureaucrats in our government known as SES. So Sam, Edward, Sam, SESs. Those are senior enlisted service. They are equivalent as bureaucrats of generals. That is their rank. They are generals, even in the upper echelon of the bureaucrats. So when presidents and their cabinets come and go, the bureaucrats are still part of the problem, the inbred problem. And trust me, it is very inbred. It is very narcissistic. They act as if they are our parents and they know the best for all of us, regardless of who our parents are, how strong they are, what they want for us. And so having said all that, the issue with what's happening in our schools has been going on for decades. The core curriculum is a compressed compilation of the worst in schools to download into our kids, now using computer technology, Wi-Fi, which emits higher levels of tetra waves, which are both radiation and heat waves, that can cause young girls to not be able to get pregnant years later. So it's part of the eugenics program, as well as the neurolinguistic programming, which they're teaching children through sexualization, both in books that is way above their age bracket, Blue Eyes by Toni Morrison, I believe. She's the Pulitzer Prize-winning laureate.
Right,
Not to take away from the body and amazement of her capturing of a very profound subject matter. But when you give this to children in sixth grade or seventh grade, it is inappropriate to be speaking about pedophilia, rape, and incest. Now, let me quantify this. It's always important for children to know good touch, bad touch. It's very important for them to know their body parts, elbow, nose, penis, rectum, vagina, so that they understand when somebody is inappropriately touching them. It does not mean they need to normalize it, which has been noted in the core curriculum by an 11-year-old who said that there was a poster on how to communicate, and on the words of the poster, sixth grader, 11-year-old, says oral sex, anal sex, caressing was spelled wrong, talking, fondling. This was considered in a school, in a sixth grader's class, hanging for nearly a year in the class, as normal communications. Anal sex, oral sex? I don't think so. So again, we as adults need to go back and look in history of what we were reading. Again, how were we being sexualized? How were we being manipulated, coerced, and forced into different areas of our life, some more than others, through severe trauma, both physical, sexual, psychological, and technological? Technological is not just about movies, but about the subliminals of cartoons, movies, the flicker rate, things that most of us were not aware of. There's a reason they used to call it the idiot box. And yet, when children specifically are physically, sexually, and psychologically abused, their brain is impacted to the negative in the arithmetic and reading issues. They are impacted in their ability to speak or articulate. They are easily led and highly suggestible. They become more emotional. So often, even overachievers have been seen as having had, and that's really what they're fishing for, folks. There is, you know, the kids that go into the drugs and marijuana, at least back in the day, marijuana used to be a trauma boundary breakthrough. So when a person had severe trauma, the THC in the marijuana would actually help to reconnect the logic and the articulation and synchronicity of the brain. The problem is that in those states now coming up, and we all have to be very wary, again, that some of these drugs might be, some of the marijuana might in fact be tainted, or strands of it might actually lead one down the wrong path rather than healing or something else, but into a different area.
Hold on. Let me get you here, because I read everybody, and I know those of you on here, you know, the Bob Marleys, they are saying that Monsanto has now gotten a hold of the marijuana game here in this corporation, because of the fact that it's so prevalent in the bounty, because I just showed you that they know the wealth of marijuana. They grew it from the beginning. They are now reintroducing it again with Monsanto underneath it. And so, yes, it could be something that she's saying is absolutely true, because remember, these are synthetic weeds. And I believe that I read an article that is some of the reason why people are going into these zombie effects based off some of the hypergenic drugs that they are experimenting on. Now, this is part of MLK Ultra. This ain't made up, y'all. This is documented. Anybody with a little bit of knowledge want to just look it up, just go online. Now, go ahead. Dorothy, finish off where you left. Sorry about that.
Well, one of the things that, having had the contract negotiation, and actually years ago I tried to get myself into the Ohio governorship race, because, number one, Ohio, the southern part of Ohio and the northern part of Indiana, World War II time frame, was planted by the federal government with hemp plants. Now, please note, hemp in its true form doesn't have enough THC to do a whole lot. It was used in World War II for uniforms and the ropes. They actually used to make the really large World War I, World War II, the really large ropes for the ships. And it is actually one of the most sustainable plants, reusable for paper, clothes, And I don't mean paper clothes. I mean really well softened. It's kind of like the cotton replacement. Now, moving that forward, the whole hemp industry has been lied about is why they couldn't move it forward, because there were so many common people, let's say us, those of us who care about the planet, those of us who care about real peace in the world, not P-I-E-C-E, but P-E-A-C-E. And so there were so many people who were much lower on the economic totem pole that they did not want to get into receivership or get into the company business of this stuff, and it would have interfered with Mead paper and other paper products and the systems that were already in place. Remember, this is about ultimately who they will let in to create companies using their own innovation and creativity. And again, that's why sexual abuse, physical abuse, and psychological abuse is so important, because it often shuts down creativity. It shuts down one's ability to dream and innovate. And again, moving forward, you're easily manipulated, highly suggestible. You are literal. You take things literal. Now, let me give you an example. For a child who's severely traumatized, if you were to say the word rose to them, they would only think of one of the words, one of the images, let's say a flower, a rose. Yet what other ways do roses appear? The color rose, a rose bush, a rose thorn, to rise, or the person rose from a bed, or rose from the dead, as in Christ, if you choose to believe that religious story. The point being is that when children are that severely abused, it shuts down their creativity. It shuts down the 31 flavors plus all the different possibilities of what they could have been. So this is also about white supremacy. It is about those who don't like women, who wanted more for themselves regardless of the color of you, and minorities that they didn't want into their higher positions. In the 70s, remember, there was huge quota systems in the colleges and through working situations of people demanding their equality. So what did they do? They put tampering with juries through the psychologists that came into our jury selection system in the 70s and the 80s. Folks, that's jury tampering. There is no legal rate for that to even happen. You're not getting a jury of your peers. You're getting a jury of who they want to be convicted and how they want you to be set up. That's what psychologists are doing. Now, coming back to the Monsanto thing, having had a contract negotiation position, I said, boy, I'd love to be able to get a hold of any of those farmers that had their stuff ripped off, because it'd be wonderful to help them find a decent attorney to countersue, saying that every one of those farms that either had used Roundup, Monsanto's product, that put on their product, put on their farms, not ever knowing that there was a patented seed, and this was a total setup by these companies to do so. So fraud, and there is no statute of limit on fraud, so there was clearly fraudulent conspiracy before the fact and after the fact, and the farmers could have simply sued for $2 to $3 million a day storage fees for that seed to be on their property. $5, $6, $7 million, I don't care. Pick a number. And charge Monsanto back for that. I had actually set up an entire plan on how to go after Monsanto. And to recoup these farmers' lands and to even create a new business. Now what would that be? For any of these youngsters that are in our colleges, which have neuro-linguistic program people that are messing with your children, and there's an epidemic of rapes on our college campuses across, no matter what level you're going to, please know this is very systematic of who they're going after. Make no doubt about it. And this is in violation, going back to 1964, the Discrimination Act. This is about a geopolitical targeting of certain people's children. The wealthy aren't getting tagged. They aren't getting attacked. make sure you understand that this is a very clear, deliberate attack upon certain people. Now,
oh, I believe.
Why is this all important to all of us? Because the only way you can have the criminally elite, who do not see themselves as criminally elite, so I'm going to add another lovely word with our host permission to the type of government you want. And that would be, and we're going to have to be creative on this, we need to put one up saying, and I think this may be actually able to define the current national and global people that are in charge. Reptilian reprobates. Now, the point of that is that they are cold-hearted. Absolutely cold-hearted. And they don't give a crap about anybody else. They're willing to only help their friends, and if you will not play in their game, you will be destroyed. Even if, and I'll give you a great example, when I was in college in political science, I had to do a report. And the report I chose to do in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, was on President Carter's Superfund, the EPA Superfund. Now, briefly what that was is a nonpartisan, he didn't care what political party you belong to, he wanted all companies across America, going back no matter how many years they've been here, who had either knowingly or unknowingly dumped toxins into the ground, because before there was testing, they didn't always know that some of the stuff they were using were actually toxic. With time, we began discovering in the 70s DDTs, red dye number 4, and other things, along with Agent Orange from the Vietnam veteran time period and other carcinogens, that Carter had actually put out the policy that he wanted to know the companies and where they dumped this stuff so that we as Americans could clean it up so no one would be harmed on an ongoing basis. Carter would lose the election. Reagan would come into play, and what did President Reagan do? He immediately gutted that system, put into the EPA leadership chemical and oil executives and attorneys into the highest levels of the EPA, and then for any American who would find a dump site, typically under their homes or under schools, now please know the only way you typically find those is either someone gets extremely sick or someone dies in your family. And typically that was often thought of as just, oh, the sickness happened. And then when more children started dying in the community, then it would typically become an alarm. But what part of the policy under Reagan was, is that the person who owned this property now had to pay 10% of the cleanup costs. Now, folks, if you have to find out through the death or multiple deaths or serious illnesses of people in your community that there's a dump site, number one, you're already paying your costs. It's already destroying the family financial economic situation. Then you're going to have to pay 10%. Now, see, I was in a conservative college, and I wrote that paper in the way I am, the way I grew up, is you're supposed to protect those who don't know. You're supposed to do the right thing. And so my paper was actually against this policy, and that would get me in trouble, because the sad thing is our college campuses are not places of higher learning and information. They are really about weeding out those who would be true national leaders to say enough of this stuff. There needs to be a coexistence of responsible companies and corporations. Many of us who've been targeted, gone after, and brutalized, we are the actual 1960s, 1970s, 80s, 90s green people, those people that had the ideas and had the innovations back then. And instead, we were way before our time, and we got pummeled for speaking up and saying enough of this garbage. Please know that there's another aspect that most people don't want to talk about. You have your drugs, your gun running. You have your food and water taking. You have human slavery, which is the old prostitution. Please know that this has really gone underground to such a level because it is ultimately a domination of one person over the other. And it is not anything that good and decent people would ever do to somebody else. Because if they were and were willing to do it, just like so many conservatives are saying that both men and women can't really be raped, just like the Catholic Church says, then I would suggest to you that we need to ask those who say it's impossible to either have young men or women raped, that they bend over and open up every orifice of themselves wide for anybody to line up for them and let them be our chest dummies.
And that's
sorry.
What's happening now. Let me hold on.
Sorry. You got me on a roll. Go ahead.
I know you've been through it, and Sean, you're still with me. Now, we're going to we almost at the top of the hour. I'm going to take some calls. Those of you who want to get on this, just to free your mind on what's going on, what you feel free about. Now, we're not trying to make anybody feel gloom and doom, but we're going to say if you have any type of respect for the planet that you say that the Creator created, and if you even got any respect for the people that you have these intimate relationships with during these meetings and saying, hey, we got to do something, then this is the time to act. I mean, you cannot tell me that you do not see that they are way beyond 12 o'clock. They have passed midnight. I mean, when you realize what I'm getting ready to tell you, and they're about to go to war, y'all. Obama said he would not go in. And the topic, I want some of y'all opinions on it. Obama told everybody they would not go back into Iraq. They just announced that they were going back into Iraq. And more troops may be needed. Y'all don't see the scenario coming together, y'all. I have Albert Pike on drybonesconnection.com who was prophesied that it will be three world wars. And I want you to go on there and click on his analogy of how that war is beginning. You tell me how somebody, a Confederate soldier from the 1800s, could possibly know what's going on today in 2000. Let me get a few calls in here. And I got, she's been waiting a long time. I know, and I had a good time with this sister and Emilio. Sister, there you go. Malika, what's up?
Hi, how are you? Good.
Yeah, you got your hand up.
Yes.
Up. Now let me just say this too. The sister that we play on. What's her name? Say her name that we did the music with. Latin music.
Omilani.
Malani. I want everybody to know we're gonna have a show.
Right.
Yeah, we're gonna have a show with her. Omilani. Mm-hmm. There you go. She came by and we did a session and she's a hell of a singer, and we had a good time in Latin. And she's also has a documentary called Latinegas, meaning how Black Latinos are being treated here around the world and America. We take it lightly too, like it's just us, but it's not. All right, sister, make a comment and a question very quickly, please.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you, Brother Drybones, for bringing about Sean, Brother Sean, and for bringing back Dorothy, because they really give great information. In reference to the marijuana agenda, I did go to a trailer, and Brother Drybone knows about this. I forgot the name of the film. I'm sorry, it wasn't a trailer; it was a film. And there
was
a panel there. One of the panelists was from the global, when they say that word, my flags go off, Drug Administration. And he was smiling his case away, and he told the people that marijuana was going to be legalized. Now, the reason why I think, and maybe, Dorothy, maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm right, I feel that the reason why marijuana is going to be legalized, it's not for the purposes of medicinal, because if that was the case, they would have done that a long time ago. And surely the pharmaceutical industry is all in it, and they don't want that don't want the cure. So
mm-hmm.
I feel that the reason for that agenda is to completely dumb down the population. And there could be, an uprise on.
Okay.
And I know this is crazy, but there could be an uprise on. Excuse me. There could be an uprise zombie. On an outbreak of zombies.
Well, let's.
And I'm.
All right. Let her answer. Hold on. Let her answer. Thank you, babe. Let her answer. Go ahead, Dorothy.
Thank you.
Great question. But let's answer that from a historical perspective, okay? Here's what happened in America when we had when the country wanted to not have alcohol, right? So they outlawed alcohol, and so what happened is they had a whole bunch of people that began making booze. And among those booze makers, not only was Joseph Kennedy was one of them, but a lot of the gangsters got involved in it. And you also had a lot of people that were making booze that had not brewing alcohol, but the other isopropyl, I think, is what it was. A lot of people went blind and a lot of people died. And one of the reasons, one of the justifications for actually making alcohol legal was because of all the speakeasies. The government was losing a lot of money. People were losing, there was a great deal of corruption, abuse, and murders, because you're talking about, if you think back historically, you had the Valentine Massacre, which in part was because of the Chicago gun running and drug running, women, human prostitution, as well as even the alcohol running. So these were all wars that came about because of it, and it wasn't the common people in America that was causing the problems. It was the gangsters. Among them was the government gangsters. Remember, if you go back to the original history of our government, who were plantation owners? They were your government congressional leadership. They had the tobacco farms. And even in modern times, many of you may not remember, and it's kind of funny because C-SPAN is on right now, and there's a bunch of guys that are about ready to take an oath, but it was only after the American Congress in recent years distanced themselves far enough from the tobacco industry where they began talking about the toxins that they knew had been in the cigarettes since the 30s and 40s, because I had to read that book in college. So what does this all say? It says that we have more congressmen that are millionaires and billionaires than ever before. They have families and friends that they have franchised their monopolies to, and the deregulation under Reagan, Bush, and the rest of them has helped to do this. This includes everything from one end. Now, taking that perspective, there is going to be, and it's highly probable, based on who got the licenses in past examples, who got businesses, that the people who are now your druggists for marijuana most likely are those who are willing to play their game, which means they certainly can have carcinogens in them. They certainly could have toxins in them. And that there may be some little inside system of who gets to get those and who doesn't. One has to ask the question, when DEA, and I know they have a job to do, but when you can turn on the many channels that are now on TV and the country is going into this capability of allowing marijuana to be sold.
Where's your number at?
What happens?
No, which one you use?
What happens?
No, we're back on.
Yeah, what happens is... Sorry about that. What happens is when the government begins to start losing some of its money, you have to begin wondering who is getting the licenses for selling this stuff. And when they've sold it in the past, who was it? They were people who were favored. It was spoil systems. It was family members. It was cousins or people within the family chain. That goes for the insurance companies. It goes for the oil companies. Even Mr. Rockefeller Sr., the one who started Standard Oil, when he was gone after for a monopoly by our own Congress, his chauffeur drove him across the country to keep him from being brought to court after being arrested. When they said you have to break up your monopoly, what did he do? He simply broke it up into most companies, into different companies, but gave family and friends some holdings, but he kept the majority of the holdings.
And let me ask you this. Hold on, because I'm going to go on that, too, because of the fact that I'm going to bring some more people in. But did you not notice, everybody, that to get into the marijuana game, it's a lot of money to have one of those dispensaries, because you're going to have to be into the million, because you know you're going to make it back. But she's absolutely right. It has to be a certain crew that's able to get this high-grade marijuana and to be able to do this. So, in other words, I'm going to read another government that y'all was already into. We never knew it. My people's out there, you was into a cottoncracy. That's cottoncracy, meaning governed by those involved in the cotton trade. That was a government. They had a government word for this, government. That means at the time she was talking about when they were doing cotton and textile, goes to show you that they had a formation of government that was able to
circulate
that.
Well, I'll tell you
that
I think all those words are in play, because the reason why they were created is to be used.
They are.
And even the part, where it says the one about slavery, that the slaves are in charge. Now think about this. Once the white supremacists, the white senior elite, have had their networks totally in play, and that pretty much happened during the Reagan administration. That's when he was given big dollars from the government to companies that he wanted. And those companies, much like cow udders, when you're milking a cow, they only give jobs to those they want when they want. It's totally manufactured.
You got to turn your phone
job
down.
Descriptions.
Turn your phone down.
It's totally manufactured. Issues with our job situation. Just like the 1929 stock exchange crash. That was all manufactured.
Exactly, manufactured. I've got another one of our lovely sisters out there who is doing her thing, and she's reaching them. Miss Neil, Mary, you hear me?
I'm here, Dry Bones. How you doing?
I'm good, sister. I had you on last week on my video collage for the whistleblowers. I don't know if you looked at it, but I had you on there, and I had a few other people on there, because I said you are blowing the whistle.
I'm a whistleblower.
That's right. You blowing that whistle. That's right.
Yes.
And you doing
but you know what? I think that these white supremacists think they have things so together now that they don't even worry about whistleblowing. I think that they're bolder than ever, and they're just out of the closet. Boy, their gloves are. So I don't know what's going on, but they feel like they have their people in each seat that you could go to for help. So each branch of government that you should be able to whistleblow to them and they investigate the others, well, it's no more like that. They're all in it together. So they really don't worry about us telling or blowing out whistles anymore, and they've gotten more bold than ever because there's literally nobody to go to in the U.S. government that I know of that will affect positive change. So it's just like you telling on the Dobermans to the pit bulls. That's what the situation seems to be. But I just want you to know that regarding the marijuana being legalized, I wonder if anybody knows the answer to this. In the states where they have legalized marijuana, have they dispensed with testing people for marijuana before they give them jobs? In other words, in the states where marijuana is legalized, have they outlawed drug testing before employment? Because if they haven't done both, then they just have a setup there to keep people, an excuse to drug test who they want and keep them from getting jobs, even though marijuana has become a legal substance. A second question I would ask about legalizing marijuana is, I would ask, you know, marijuana stays in the system for up to a month or even 3 months, depending on the grade of marijuana and depending on, you know, how fast your body metabolizes it. So you can get high steadily for a while on that very high-grade marijuana, and you would test positive on a test even months after you had had your last joint. So that begs the question, you know, they now test people for marijuana after some car accidents. I would want to ask, have they dispensed with testing for marijuana that had car accidents? Because if they have not, then it seems that's something that need to be done in the states where they do it legalized.
Now, I'm going to ask a question because, you know, everybody who knows this, I noticed that the NFL is still concerned. Those of you who know football, watch football, and, you know how this works, even they are saying we don't know if we can go along with that policy because they banned marijuana in the NFL. And then you got states like Denver, Colorado, and Seattle, where the Super Bowl champion is at. And we could, you know, this might be something that could be easily taken into consideration to deny people. Now, I want to be honest with you, everybody. You know, it used to be a time we used to call it homegrown. You used to grow it, and they still growing it in the houses now. But, you know, I tell everybody, if they're going to make it legal, you best to grow your own if you're going to really deal with that. So there's no way we can say that it's safe. Now, let me ask y'all a few other things, because, Mary, you deal with the mentally ill. Dorothy, you deal with the rape and so forth. And my brother, Sean, he deals with a lot of technical stuff. He did the show on Bitcoin and so forth. We're seeing a change, which is a banking war. It looks like the bankers are at war, and they're using us as their military based on what field, the opium. Everybody knows the opium is in Afghanistan. Everybody knows that. Mexico has the drugs down here. You know, Russia's controlling. I mean, are we to believe, and I just said earlier that it was a cryptocracy, meaning a secret government. Wouldn't we have to be naive to believe that there's not something bigger out there, and because we don't look to each other properly, can we possibly say that we may not be able to defeat this if we continue at this pace? It seems like we have, and we can get an answer from everybody briefly, and I can bring a few more calls in. Give me a brief analogy, Sean. What you think with what we're knowing and what we're finding out, and it's becoming sad in some cases. Dr. Ngimi's in the Congo. He said that Akimba is getting ready to start war like they did in Rwanda. You know, what you see, tell me, give me your outlook, because you're a positive brother. I mean, I know you're positive, but, you know, we got to look at it two ways here.
Well, you know, since you've had several dynamic guests on that have offered credible testimony, eyewitness testimonies, and an in-depth subject matter knowledge regarding, you know, a variety of different world affairs. And, you know, my humble opinion is such that, like I said, we are in, and everyone is in survival mode. And, you know, my military background has taught me, and I've had the training and experience. I've served in Special Operations Command here at MacDill, and I can, you know, I can bear witness to a lot of the classified reports that I saw back in the 90s. And I can recall seeing a classified report concerning and you, so you can add me to the list of whistleblowers as well. the assassination attempt of Saddam Hussein by our very own United States, our Navy SEAL team. So there's a lot of positioning, counterinsurgency operations that have always been going on between world governments. And so we're seeing this heightened struggle for power, and such that, you know, the United States' position as a world superpower, as the number one superpower, is being challenged by countries like Russia and China specifically. So we have a genuine cause for concern here as Americans. It's, you know, because of our government's very own deceptive practices, deceptive financial practices, and the things that we were Captain Dorothy was mentioning regarding the experiments and things like that. We have to realize that we are also a part of the experiment. It's inclusive of the United States citizenry as a whole. So until all of American citizens wake up and realize that fact, I think there's not much that we can continue to do to facilitate change in the form of a true government, you know, for and by the people, a republic, and certainly like Captain Dorothy said, we are actually experiencing several different types of governments at the same time. We're being affected by the plutocracy, the genocracy, genocracy. So we're experiencing a combination of those governments all at the same time. But we as American citizens all need to wake up and realize how we all are part of this ongoing experiment.
Yeah, we are. And I remember now, I've seen some, many of them send information, including my people in Africa. I get a lot of emails from Africa. I have learned to now hide your email names because you will be bombarded from Africa full of information, but they will take a lot of your emails up. But nonetheless, on a serious note, they are saying some of the most bizarre things. If you look at what's going on, and I told you, these events that I go to, I always ask, do y'all really know what's going on over there? I mean, do you really know? Does somebody really tell you? Because, you know, we have a tendency to make everything sound good for some strange reason. And to me, that's dangerous because you're not thinking on both levels. It is good. It is evil. But at the same time, if it's, everything is good, you are giving yourself a far shorter advantage of trying to help yourself and others if when the time comes, because it's tough. But, Mary, you had an article you sent me. I told somebody this on my show, that there is a such thing as debtor's prison. Of course,
yes.
They may not know. Tell them what happened with the debtor prison situation that you heard about. And this is facts, y'all.
Thank you, Dry Bones. Her picture was lovely. A white woman in Pennsylvania had seven children. She has four who are minors. At some point in raising her children, she had some that were truant, and parents in Pennsylvania get tickets, fines, if you will, for their children being truant. And so she had racked up what came out to be $2,000 worth of truancy tickets or fines for her children who skip school from time to time. And I don't know whether she had racked up that many actual tickets or whether they had added usury to them. But she owed the state of Pennsylvania $2,000 for truancy tickets. And they went and got this woman and told her, well, we're going to take you to jail, and if you stay 2 days, then, you know, we'll clean the books. You won't owe any more truancy fines. And so, you know, she went to jail, and on the first night there, somebody killed her. And they said that why did she die? We don't know what happened to her. So that's the lie that's going out. They don't know what happened to her. And the judge even made a suggestion. He said, did she doubt, right? Was she scared to death? Well, you know, a woman who is raising 7 kids and raised already 3 of them to adulthood on her own does not sound like a little faltering miss who would be scared to death because she's in jail overnight. I just don't buy that. I think this woman has been tried and tested in life. She's been through a lot of circumstances, and I think that she was good for 2 nights in jail without dying of fright. What would scare her so much that she would die, since that was the judge suggested? And then the judge said, we don't have debtors' prisons. She should never have been in jail. But the prison not only has her staying overnight in jail for 2 nights because of her tickets, that jail is full of women who are separated from their children and staying in the jail because they owe truancy tickets. So she was not the only one. What they're doing to have debtors' prison is they now say that you made that furniture bill, you made that car note, you made whatever bill it is that they want to take you to debtors' prison about, they say you committed fraud. So that's the way they're doing it. And they're attaching a criminal offense to your bills that you owe. And, yes, they're doing that not just in Pennsylvania. In Georgia, I had a young friend. His wife was picked up, and she was put in jail right here in Georgia for her bill that she owed, and it was called fraud. And I also know another lady who was picked up because she owed a furniture bill, and it was called fraud. And the most famous case of that right now, and I don't know if you know about this one, Dry Bones, but it's IRP6. And I'm saying RP6, and I ask all of you to look that up. That is technicians, software technicians. They were 5 blacks and 1 white, and they were in, I think, let's see, what state was it? One of the Midwestern states, and they had their own software company, and they were designing software that had the capacity to tie in all the computer systems dealing with law enforcement to Homeland Security, only, though, on specific information that they say they want to trade. So in other words, they were tying all the police stations in with Homeland Security with this software. And they said they needed something like that. They said it over and over after 9/11 that if only we had better communication, we could have resolved this thing before it even happened. And so who were software designers, they got busy building this communication system that would tie in all the branches of, you know, anything to do with law enforcement together so that they would all be fed the same information like an Amber Alert. And so the government said, well, come on, let us see what you got. So they went in there with their software, and they were excited to have interview with Homeland Security. And Homeland Security told them, we tell you what, we want you to modify certain things about the software to make it specific for our needs. We want you to tweak this and tweak that. So they gave them a little assignment. And they were talking about buying this system from them, and the price tag on it was in the hundreds of millions, and to buy the whole system would be in the billions. So these are 4 or 5 black men and 1 white man who got together just like the young guys did at Google and at Microsoft. These guys are young, but not so young. And what they did was they went and got some temp workers from temporary services to hurry up and meet the deadline on fulfilling these tweaks that the government had requested them to do. And so they got temporary technicians who were highly skilled to go ahead and help them to meet this deadline. And in the meantime, their temporary bill, it got behind. The bill with the temporary company got behind, and the government came in and raided their company and put them all in jail and said they had done fraud on those temporary services because they did not pay their bills properly. So this was not debtor's prison they went to. They went to a federal prison, and they went based on the supposition that they had committed fraud on the temporary service companies. When they went in thinking that they had a sale with the U.S. government and that they were going to sell this product and be able to pay these bills lickety-split. But before they could do that, the government came in and raided their company, and guess what? They came in, and when you raid a company and it's based on financial fraud, all they should need to see is the financial records. But instead, they wanted every one of their computers. They sat there at their computers, the FBI did, and they downloaded all of their files and information because what they feel like they were doing is they were doing like they did in the old days. They were stealing. They wanted to steal instead of buy because these are black people. They wanted to steal their software. And they downloaded the information on all of their computers onto disk. You had FBI agents sitting at all of their computers at that company, downloading information, taking computers out of there. I'm glad to tell you, though, that they say they did not get their software because it was not uploaded on those computers in that office. But that's what the attention seems to have been.
What state was this, Georgia?
No. This was in the Midwest, and just look online, IRP6, and you will see.
Now,
I've written about it, so you can put IRP6 Mary Neal, and you'll get to the articles I wrote about it.
Yeah, I'll get it. Now, I want y'all to know, she talked about the judges. Now, here is a government by judges. You know, if you Bible information, it's not called that. It's called K-R-I-T-R-A-R-C-H-Y, Kitarchy, like Archie, a Kit Archie. Now, I'm going to look some deep words on there, but that is what a government by judges is called, a K-R-I-T-A-R-C-H-Y. Now, I'm going to talk for a minute. She said something about it. I got 1-877. I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to bring 777. I don't see you no more. He must have got off the line. I was about to bring you in, but I'll bring you in 187, right in the next one. This is for those who...
They're also, Dragons, they're talking about closing the borders for everybody who owes student loans. In other words, if you owe a student loan, they're talking about closing the borders to you. You won't be able to leave the country because they won't issue you a visa.
They won't issue them for people who owe child support either. Child support would not be able to leave the country either. So if y'all have arrears or anything such, they are holding you in. Now, this is where those of you who are astute in law or astute in some type of understanding to come up with formulas, think tank of use to able to battle this. Because if y'all don't, you know, take it on that next level, it ain't going to be nothing about no doggone paperwork, about no credit, none of that. Because there ain't going to be no credit. There'll be microchips.
I have my hand up. Number one.
Go ahead.
Solutions come down to number one. There needs to be an investigation of any kid who's truant. Because if they're being abused, harassed, or bullied, I had peers who actually told me, and in hindsight, I wouldn't want to have been in school either. Now, what does that mean? That means there is only one way that parents are going to fully understand if your child is being fully messed with and it's an ongoing, such an amount of abuse, because it's very easy to shatter a person. They need to sit down and write out as if they're writing their memoirs, reverse engineer their life, begin explaining who did what, when, why, how. As they begin to do that, that's the only way you're really going to find out what that child's been through. If they've been bullied, then they need to be protected for safety reasons. If it is a legitimate truancy and there is no protection, and please know, counseling is not going to work for these kids who are truant, because counseling, depending on who the players are, and please know, your superintendents, principals, and others are participating in manipulating your children. I can talk to that directly because my superintendents actually admitted They were former military officers, the superintendents of my schools, admitted to me that they knew the rapes were going on in the military, and I took it too personally. It was sexual slavery, folks.
And it's going
now,
on. It's going on.
Yeah,
big time.
It's going on. So, and it's specifically against certain people, which goes back to the issue of it is easy to shatter children. We all, when we are little, every trauma, every abuse is literally pressure upon the human psyche, the human being. It's being deliberately done so that there is no system that is ethical, honest to go to, justice, peace. What did Dr. King and so many others say? That if you do not have true justice, true peace, true resolution to these children are going to build up, and they're going to go off. That's what the intention is. And who are these children being gone after? They're the good and decent children. There needs to be four political parties in this country: the Republicans, the Democrats, the Independents, and the reprobates. And we need to put the reprobates in their own clue, which there would be a whole bunch of them.
Hold on, your phone is getting loud. Hold on, turn your phone down because you're echoing. I hope that, and I'll bring you right back in. Let me go to 1-877. What do you think about what you've been hearing so far? 1-877, sister from that ATL. What's up?
Well, hello, Dry Bones. How are you today?
Good, sister. How you feel, sister? We doing what we
do. I'm doing. That's right. I'm doing well. And hello to your guests as well. I just would like to say that if I was to choose the type of government, I think I would choose the middle class government as well. I think that's called the methocracy. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. And I think I agree with you because I think the middle class would make the right decisions. We wouldn't be influenced by the powers that be, because if we were elected, especially in this day and time, we were really elected by the people and not the powers of the be. And our the life that we live would totally be different. Our laws, our governing constitution would reflect on helping the middle class people and the low class. So, you know, that's a fantasy world, because I don't think that would ever happen, especially seeing that the government that we have now, that most people has come into realize is not a democracy, it's more of a communistic country that we live in now. And I just hope that today, what happened to me today, I'm going to tell you an interesting story. I went down to the courthouse to file some papers, and Occupy Atlanta was there marching. They had their signs, and I had a chance to take some pictures and talk to the coordinated director of the Occupy Atlanta here, and I was just really amazed at how they kind of like you said, that we should think about our government. They kind of formulate their own government within their organization, and I think that even if you're trying to build a community, it's just important to think about the creating a government within your organization, rather it's a community or an organization, because you can set rules and laws to benefit everyone, where you can make it a win-win situation. And those folks out there today, I was just so excited, because I said, wow, you know, it was a brother that was a veteran that actually lost his house, and Occupy Atlanta, I'm just going to be frank, majority of the folks that was out there were white people, and they had their signs, they formulated a nice group to go inside the courtroom to stick up for this veteran who lost his house to Fannie Mae, who actually got $280 billion from the government to bail them out, as we all know, but yet they were able to actually be in court and win, because one of the hearing for today was actually to define if Fannie Mae was a government entity that actually foreclosed on them, on the property, and the court ruled that they were not a government entity. They were actually temporarily held by FHFA, which is a government entity, which is, you know, amazing how our government actually is being ran, because we all know that the United States government owns Fannie Mae, but you can go into court and, you know, they had a witness
it's
there.
A
and
story.
She was,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a total different story. And the witness for Fannie Mae here in Atlanta, she's like, I don't know. I don't know. She didn't know anything.
I've seen the pictures that you sent. You sent an email. It was a small crowd, but you know what? I tell you all the time, you know, that's a crowd I'd rather have and be around, because they was dedicated. They had their signs up. And
that's
again,
right. They were
do
so
not
dedicated.
Do not let people discourage you. You do not have to have a lot of people. Like the brother said, Booker T. Coleman said, it's best not to have that many because of the
right.
fact that
they filled up a courtroom.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's good to have that amount. I mean, 15 to 20, but there is ways to just keep going without having 1,000 people. I tell you, like you said, and I give Dr. Booker T. credit. He said, if I have 3 million people or 30 million people, he said, out of 30 million people, if you take one-third of them that's going to do the job, that'll be 30,000. So I'll take the 30,000, just like you said, because that 30,000 will be more
dedicated and focused
mm-hmm. than those who, you know, because there's always something to do. It's always, y'all. Even if you're playing chess, y'all, it's always something. Now, I'm gonna, for a minute, before we get back into the to Mary and Dorothy and everybody else to get in here, because we're almost at the top of the hour, so we'll try to extend if you guys want to. I'm talking to these church people tonight. Dorothy said something, or one of them said something about usury. And you sit in these churches not realizing that that book says usury, which is interest, is highly wicked. Look it up. It starts with a U-S-A-R-Y, usury. And it's taxing the people. Now, this is the only time I'm going to tell people this, and if you don't get it, nothing I can do about it. The Jesus character does not get mad throughout the whole book until he gets to these guys called money changers. That means exchange in currency or in commerce. He is mad. They're charging interest. They're defaming the house. He kicks over the table and stops whipping them. Now, I don't know how y'all take that, but he's targeting allegorically at a organized group that is to be looked at. That means merchant bankers. Bankers are knowingly to be criminals. Now, y'all can pretend that y'all don't understand it. If we were to take our money and put it in credit union. Now, we have to look, do the research or create a credit union. These are things that can be done. It can be done. I've seen it done. It may not last forever, but they have been done. Take our money out of Chase, Bank of America, for the credit. But because so many people look up to that credit card in your back pocket, it looks pretty. It got, you know, holographic looks. We fell in love with it. And I know people who love to show you they got credit. You know, I got credit. You know, make you feel good. But they never tell you the credit is debt. And debt is how this country runs. And it's going to run like that until they change over. So I don't understand how any of us can sit back and say we deserve to just take it. There's no way this God. Go ahead.
On that point,
somebody break.
On that point, and following up your cue, churches across the world have always fought for land and wealth, and they've killed more people in the name of their belief in God system. So it's, remember, it was also the Vatican that was and is behind all the monarchs, divine right, the right to rule based on God, and that was blessed by the churches. And how did they typically put people together and put them to death during the Inquisition or even before that with the Crusades. If you didn't happen to get the information changing today from yesterday, your belief system, and clearly they had to put up parchment and somebody had to read it and interpret it for most of the people who did not speak or write so they couldn't read, it came down to if you weren't aware of what was going on, you typically got put to death or ostracized or brutalized. Who were the majority of the people who had that done to them? Were the women and the children and minorities that were outside the belief system of the church. So if you were not reflective of the color of the leadership, you're the one who got brutalized. And this is happening all over the world still.
And as she said, right, let me, I'm going to keep on going with this. Now, you just said something. I want y'all to know white supremacy is what we call it. But under government, it says pigmentocracy means a government by those of one skin color. That's pigmentocracy. So I want y'all to hear that. There is a reason why it's white supremacy. She just said because they had to have identification. Now, many of y'all, we can go deeper in that, but we're not going to do that tonight. I know my brother Montu likes to get on this one about the... Y'all heard his show about that. We look forward to bringing him back to carry on with that. But is there some reason? Now, I know that white supremacy did work. I tell black peoples and people of color all over, you was just as brutal. We can go from time to time. I keep telling you all the time, we leave out this period where this country was getting together, and we act like they never had no doings with these Islamic regimes. The Moors, they were all together in the raping and pillaging of people. White women were the first slaves. Period. No scholar can go against that. White women were the first slaves. Unfortunately, we have a curriculum, a school system that is hell-bent on keeping people in Disney World. So no one knows the real history. It's been shrouded, including people of color. It's been shrouded. It's been covered up. I'll tell you one that's really funny, and y'all going to laugh, but those of you who know the truth, there's a statue of Dr. Martin Luther King, who is known as a civil rights leader and nonviolence. Many of us knew that he had studied with or took the mentality from Mahatma Gandhi, India. Show you how what they leave out. Mahatma Gandhi didn't like black people. He didn't like Africans. And he damn sure didn't want to be around us. He made many speeches. Many of you who know I'm telling the truth, or just help me out. He made many speeches. Now, here's something funny. The show, to throw you off, in the King Center in Atlanta, Georgia, instead of King being in the middle, they got Mahatma Gandhi in the middle as a statue. You have to realize this deception runs very deep. It's in everything. Everything. And until we understand what we're in, now I'm going to tell you, I just told you earlier, we're going to get more into that because my military people, and Miriam, bring you all back, and everybody, we're going to get into this last part. If y'all want to stay on, I'm opening the lines up. But y'all, please be considerate and try not to talk over everybody so we can get some good understanding here. Let's take this thing here. I told everybody that you are in a military dictatorship from the very beginning. When you have a general or a chief, am I correct, my military people? Isn't when you are ruled by Stalin? Stalin was a general. That's a dictator, right? Chairman Mao, general, dictator. Fidel Castro, military, dictator. Am I right, Mayor? Am I right, everybody?
Stalin was actually secret police for Lenin. It was hidden until he took power, and then he consolidated the president and took over the Congress, consolidating both. Sorry, I have
but
a minor
in studies. No, but he was a general figure. He's a general figure.
Yes, he wore a uniform to consolidate his army, and he killed 2,000 of the most ethical generals.
That's right. Now, again, we're talking military people. So maybe American people, if you just wake up. I'm going to give you an example for all my Haitian peoples. Aristide was democracy.
Yep.
And they took him out of office after he had democratic elections.
Yep.
And they ousted him with your buddy, who y'all love so much, Dr. Bill Clinton, his wife to be the next president. That would be the female principal coming to America. She is definitely, in my belief, and I'm going to say belief because I'm not correct, but I feel it. As I get closer, I will tell you that I know. But right now, I believe she's almost into that realm that she's going to be the president. Look at that. And y'all looked at that, and now the Haitians who would not listen, oh, my goodness, they are more difficult than I've seen a group who just do not.
Hello? Hello? Can anyone hear me?
Y'all there? Hello? Hello? There you go. Luckner, you back?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, man. They got me again. Let me bring a few more back in here. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, make a comment since I stopped bringing people back. Go ahead. Stay on there. I got Malika. I got Luckner. Let me bring some more back in here. Go ahead, Luckner. You make a comment. You've been on it. You've been waiting. What do you want to say about this? Get in on this conversation.
Yeah, I'd like to say thanks for the lot of information that your guest brought in. She was very well informed. My comments is mainly towards the hegemony in terms of this system that sets up the institutions that maintain or that breed the maintainers of the system, whether it be the Ivy League schools or however they set it up. But is there a concerted effort by the public or leaders in the public to kind of decipher? Because, I mean, I'm sure the elitists that set these governments up, they are not in the numbers to maintain and run it. However, if they set up institutions that raise and educate these individuals that will be the ones that maintain, that will be maintaining the system, that's may present as a maybe an opportunity to maybe investigate further and maybe help, you know, stave off some of the agendas that they kind of implement on the public unknowingly. What are the institutions that facilitate the breeding, the educating, the informing of those who are, you know, maintainers of the system? I mean, they're not all in the Masonic, how would you say, system.
No.
Although it might be in the hierarchy, but however, they have to have institutions that are set up, whether covertly or, like you said, in plain sight, where these Ivy League schools or whatever schools are, in a sense, from the military schools on, upward to the Ivy League schools, they may be the systems that help breed the maintainers. My comment would be that what are the clear, you know, recognition signs of these systems you know, in these institutions that rear these maintainers, because it's the maintainers that are keeping the system afloat. The leaders are too are in a minority.
Well, we can maintain. I think, like, now I'm one of the brothers. I don't see Credit Man on here today either, but he always say, and it's true, we do maintain, but we maintain without forethought. Because when you maintain this, and in some cases, I tell you all the time, each generation, including ours, are responsible for the next generation. Now, being that our foreparents did not know as much as we know now, I mean, they've never had to understand these conspiracies and what's going on the way we do. We are able to use the internet to see the Norwood papers. We're able to see paper, Operation Paperclip, Operation Segway. We see it all. I don't know who's making that noise, but y'all going to have to make me take everybody out just because of that noise. And so, in doing so, it's like a lot of people are now responsible for this next generation who seems, under the system of schooling that we have, to be getting dumber. Even though they're smart, they seem to be getting dumber in a lot of ways that based off this new thing. Now, Mary, and who deals with a lot of people, and Dorothy, there's a new thing called Common Core. This Common Core thing, I like to hit on it briefly as possible. You know, don't take it long, but we want to get maybe some more calls in. Explain to me, from what I've witnessed, look like they are now on the verge of taking over all schools, including homeschools. Explain to me a little bit about that, Dorothy, because I know you gave it to me.
Well, they've already done this, but the thing that we have to remember is there's virtually two levels of schooling. Those who see themselves as the elite and those in every level. Now, one of your speakers said something about the middle class, and the problem is that you've got, this is a pyramid scheme. Think of pyramids all over the place, and the ruling people at each top, they've got their own soldiers, much like set up like the mafia or the Klan or whatever you want to say, that permeates and overlaps every religious group, every economic group, on and on. So they've got actually two different levels of schooling, and they are not your traditional college schooling. You have those who go to the Ivy League schools, and then you have those who can get in who will still be the fodder under their feet. And I mean, these are the throwaway human beings that get put in to every industry as sexual slaves being drugged and brutalized women and men, as the elite get to play with them, compromise them, mess with them, and throw them away. The idea here is that they have their own schools that teach, in which they have their private gatherings, and they have their certain curriculums within their own houses where they have their sons or daughters read and become familiar with neurolinguistic programming. What I would witness in the military is even they would bring their children in, much like Klan children, that would observe the barbaric behavior of their parents. That would normalize it. So we're not just talking levels of college within, we're talking institutional hidden information that they know the baseline that they're all playing. And this was reflective back in the music industry, back in the day, that no matter who the creators of the music were, only the white were those that were willing to play the game. And in the 90s, both African minorities and women were allowed at Skull and Bones, which is Yale's secret society that Secretary Kerry was a member of, and the Bush family was a member of, as well as many others.
Right, right.
These secrets are destroying this country because they give business to each other. They only help each other out. And what they ask you to do is to either go along threatening, abusing, or somebody else. When America allows for the truth to now become criminalized, so we actually need a fifth party, and that would be the whistleblower party. I would love to have a whole series of whistleblowers run this country. Because they're cowards.
Anonymous is still out there. I got Credit Man out here, and we had a great show last week. I mean, it was hot and heavy, and I love that. because we need to sit down and have a talk about these things and not be afraid to talk about them and come out. Hey, let's go have some dinner. What's going on, bro? Tell me what you're hearing. And I know you out there in that credit world, that world that's out there with the usury and everything, and everything that's going on. But our people have to have some quick fix solution, I understand. But after what you're hearing tonight, what do you think? It's almost, where are you at in the government? Which one are you? I got picture government.
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you good.
Can you hear me okay, Dorian?
Absolutely.
Can
yeah,
you hear me okay?
Go.
I got you. Yeah, no, I had heard you mention my name, and I just letting you know I was on the line. But I sometimes feel like a hypocrite when I'm out there cleaning up people's credit, because I tell them, you know, look, I'm cleaning up your credit so you can go right back to these banks. I want people to understand that even though I'm cleaning up your credit, if you're going to use these banks, use it with a lot more, you know, I guess you would say cautionary measures than you did in the beginning, because, you know, your credit is better now, so you can have access to much lower interest rates and competitive rates and things of that nature, you know.
All you're doing really is making a smarter consumer. Because while we consume, we need to be smart. Yeah, and that's nothing wrong with that. I don't see nothing wrong with that. I see that is the only avenue that an individual can take is to be smart. And of course, you know, you want here because I believe you are one of the individuals that's trying to do that. But I know that we do have two layers of what we want. I don't want to be doing it either, believe it or not. But unfortunately, we all going to have to look at ourselves and say, okay, where are we at in this? You know, many of the people many people out here struggling and so forth. I really don't have a problem at all. We at war, really. I tell everybody, we are at war. You don't have
to.
You may not see it as such. Stay on the lines, everybody. You have 90 seconds. But if you're going to carry over, I will keep it going, because I think this next half hour, maybe we'll get even deeper with some of these things. But let me ask you, man, you out there, and you amongst both black and white, where do you see the money going towards? Because it is a revenue of money. It's somewhere money's at. Where do you see this money going? Because you see money because you're in the mortgage industry, and you're in the Where do you see this flow going to? What banks are actually giving this money or giving us these loans and all this?
Yeah, and even Akilah could probably vouch for that as well. But I would say that, you know, most of the major lenders out there, Wells Fargo, B of A, who else? Akilah would know some of the banks, because she deals with the foreclosure aspect. But most of the major banks are getting all the action. And you had mentioned the credit unions at one juncture. And I do kind of steer people towards the credit unions, but I found that the credit unions are becoming a little bit more conservative as well. But nevertheless, after I do clean up most of people's credit, I tell them, look here, you have options now. So, you know, exercise your options and try to, you know, stay away from the banks if at all possible. Go towards the credit unions and other venues which give you, you know, much probably more competitive rates. But Akilah, you might want to say something on that as well. Is Akilah on the line?
Yeah,
oh, yes,
I'm
on the phone.
Go ahead.
Oh, J.P. Morgan was another one, too. Somebody just texted me, telling me J.P. Morgan. What do you think, Akilah?
As far as the interest rates right now with the banks? Right now the interest rates are really great. They're like at 3%, 3.5%. I'm not doing loans anymore, but I think when you're out buying a house, the interest rate is really great right now. But the way the economy is right now, you wanna look at the house that you're buying and try to find a house that has some equity in it, because the reality is you buy the house and you're not going to benefit from it. As far as you're not going to have any equity 5 or 10 years down the road. So I'm not saying I'm not against, you know, buying the houses or taking advantage of these great interest rates, but I think that we should be smart consumers and try to find something, a property that can put some money in your pocket, like if you buy some gold or silver or invest in it, because right now it's not the time to invest in a house and think you're going to get something out of it. That's not happening. But right now the interest rates are very good.
That's what I'm hearing. And also, I want everybody to realize this too. There are people with money. When I say money, there's a circulation, but it's being abstracted. If you do the research, Money Mechanics, they are sucking the paper out of the system, and they're going to digitize most of our currency that we deal with. That is a big problem. So I would suggest sometimes look at what people are saying on the practical end, and also do the research. What she just said was crucial. They are predicting another housing bubble, everybody, and along with the worst thing that ever happened to our children. This is what my fear is, because I have children, and I know they're at that level of college. The college bubble is more than anything. It's in the trillions. If that bubble bursts and these kids cannot find jobs to pay that college tuition, even adults cannot find enough jobs to pay that college tuition, I believe what Mary was talking about, that debt of prison, would be used, because I'm going to try to listen carefully. That is the only loan you can't get off. Mm-hmm. No. You are not going to go into bankruptcy with that one.
Here's the way that they can resolve that, okay?
Go ahead, tell them.
What you do, and this can go even for medical school students because of the expense in any area. If you have, and this could be a great cottage industry, I'd like to see it in the hands of somebody who's a whistleblower and who's a genuine person. Every town, city, or whatever, they typically need various types of skill sets. And what you do is you begin to find these kids, much like the old town doctors, that would be able to go to different people's towns on a rotational basis. And they would help to renew or streamline their processes within the city, within the government, within the community, it doesn't matter what level, in which as part of their jobs, they would be paying off the debt for their college schools. And the city would actually be paying their debt and paying them a stipend to live in one of the many homes that may have been foreclosed on.
Are you trying to say, like, if they do like a pro bono,
they would do like a co-op.
They would use as.
They would use.
Bartering your time.
It would
be
like.
Bartering time too?
Well, it would be borrowing time, but they would actually, if they were an accountant, they could actually be doing accounting for different people. If they were human resources directors, they could actually help to clean up any type of issues, whether or not within churches or up. It doesn't matter. A community is a living system. They all are interconnected. So this could be a business plan where people could go to multiple and serve in multiple communities in multiple systems where community members would come together, whether or not in the town itself or in the town in a greater concept, and help to keep alive businesses that may be failing for whatever reason, streamlining processes. Every time a business fails in a town, the town begins to die. Well, this would be a way to prop it up, whether or not it's because of internet lack of access or marketing. All these things can be revitalizing towns and communities. And these kids could be paying back their tuition by getting even a discount, if you will, within the city. The city would pay their college bills and loans because they would be keeping alive the town. And they would be able to get a house and know whether or not you have a couple students living together as they're, you know, maturing and doing this process. And it can be done, folks. And that's even
well,
with
doctors. I can see that happen with in communities that already have a base and counties that are already that's in tune to the same mindset that people are. But, okay,
I mean, this could actually be
like,
even going on in this country with our health care.
It could be.
In Ohio alone, there's 16 million people, give or take. Now, even if you have like a la carte, you have a la carte that has what you need in your family, okay? And that could be, you know, infants and stuff like that, to other things, and even have catastrophic issues. You could have a la carte where this would be good for them. And all the people within that community or multiple states could actually join in on that and shop for the best products. You could actually even start your own insurance companies that are willing to give the people to be pro-health, preventative health. Because often when people are done, when they get pro-healthy, meaning they're eating healthy, which we're all having problems with, they're exercising and all that stuff, they're going to stay healthier longer. And yet, when you look at the cross-the-board system, and this goes back to the whole Monsanto conversation, which is even bringing in kids that want to do sustainable farming, organic farming, they would be the ones that come into communities that begin to plant real organic farms. And that then begins to take off their products and their bills from that, and they can go around and actually help people plant gardens.
Well, we haven't.
We even need to stop and tell the big, like Nevada the big casinos, stop using the water.
Well, that,
if everybody
now,
else is having water, they need to tighten their belt as well.
Well, we're going to need people to really say, and I don't mean a lot of people, but just a conscious group of us to go and approach these people. Like what you just said earlier about the growing a food. A sister that we know who's running for office up in St. Petersburg, Irene Cates, she has what they have, a farming co-op where they take children to do that as well. I think a lot of cities are doing it, and I know that to be true. They are doing it on rooftops in some parts of New York and certain other areas. So there are areas that are beginning to make some progress. I just want to make people aware that there are people out there that are trying to do what is needed to do to live. We just making it clear that we are giving people the heads up of what is they're trying to do. We are looking at their strategies, and we're telling you straight up what's happening. We're giving that to you. Now, you're going to have to go and take the next chess piece and help us in helping you. Like we have Mary, are you still on there? I don't know if you're on there. Are you still on there? Because you're up there in Georgia, I believe, too, as well. Mary must be off. All right, a lot of people came off at the top of the hour.
Can I add something? Dry Bones?
Yeah, go ahead. Feel free.
Okay, I just want to say that I did look up that word usury, and it's the practice of making unethical and immoral monetary loans intended to unfairly enrich the lender. And I just wanted to say that fits in with the student loans. Because if you look at the our current economy, most kids that come out of school are coming out with $60,000 to $100,000 worth of debt. They are not going to work, okay, making that kind of money. If you're going to borrow that, you should at least be making that when you come out. So I think that is purposely unfair for these students to come out, and a lot of the parents are not educated on how. They're pushing these student loans, and a lot of the loans are drawing interest while the students are in school. So what I would say to some of the listeners out there that have children that's going to school, I think that what we should do is figure out, is there any schools around that can provide a decent education where you don't have to take no more than about $5,000 a year? Because that is reasonable for your child to have that penalty of paying $20,000 back. But as far as these kids going to school spending $25,000 and $30,000, they're setting themselves up for usury. And I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah, and to be honest with you now, everybody who's out there listening, these are different approaches that we're trying to show you that have been used on us. And again, I keep saying spiritual. This is one of the problems, and I want y'all to get in on this. We have a lot of organized people that are sitting in these churches, and I have to admit they sit in there. They got trustees. They got their little CEO, and they got their 501c, and they got all this going on. So they understand the business aspect. Problem is controlled by a mechanism that does not want us to be further. Unfortunately, we have many people that we love, our family members, cousins, that are in these mindsets of the church. They don't listen to us, but just give yourself a minute. Just think if the church, this is just hypothetical. What if the churches was to actually get on board in doing the right thing? They sit there. They know this usury is going to be dangerous to all. You know how further that jump is. That's how powerful the spiritual world, which would be a theocracy. I told y'all, these governmental priests, theocracy, these are governmental priests. They have a government. We need to explore that more. Why is it that we cannot sit down with these preachers and say, preacher, come on, let's have a meeting about what's going on. We need to look at this. Sometimes they don't even want to hear that because it's not in their program, meaning that they have another agenda. Now, are we wrong to tell them what to do? I don't know, but I'll tell you like this. If you're going to be out here talking to people, you don't know what their affiliation is really when it comes to church. You try to put them in the main commonality that we are having a problem with being taxed. Now, I don't want anybody to take this wrong, but the immigration that's about to come in here, and Dorothy said, a lot of children are being brought in here to families to have sex with. Let me let you know this, y'all. When these people be getting these kids and having these orphanages, I know it sounds good, sounds right, but they are doing actual sex acts and selling these kids. And we become so complacent today that they got us through it. What's that linguistic, what you say it is, Dorothy? Linguistic,
neuro-linguistic programming.
Linguistic programming where we all, including my, we become, if we don't stay focused on what's going on, we become numb ourselves. We become numb.
Right, and part of this with these children, they've already been shattered, many of them from South American countries where there's been war-torn issues. And again, please note, there's not just one agenda being played. You almost have to think about this as a Rubik's Cube. You have four sides that are clearly visible. You have three sides that are not. So again, are some of these children, and let me kind of give you a little bit of history. Those South American countries are highly Catholic. That is the primary religion in these backgrounds. And this was told to me by Latinos. I was told that in those communities where women are raped, they're typically forced to marry the rapist, which doesn't make for a real good system. That also means that could these children be used as, when they're shattered and we're all born whole, if they've been shattered to certain levels, they can be used for sex slaves, for child soldiers, for body parts. There's an industry for body parts. As they're, depending on what they will do or not do, and again, the shattering of a child, they don't necessarily know how they're being manipulated, coerced, or forced. Neuro-linguistic programming is a baseline, and easily explained to any of you, what they do is they see what you like as a human being, and then they begin what you love and like, and they slowly sexualize it or slowly begin to push buttons that get you angry or hurt depending on how they want to use you in the future. And then they begin to break you down and build you up. It's a Stockholm syndrome. And it is a deliberate and intentional path of how to use you. Now, this came out of the Himmler-Hitler-Eichmann study, Himmler-Hitler-Eichmann study of Operation Paperclip in the 40s. What they did is you abused children under the age of 5. This was also done to the children that were taken away from their parents of Hurricane Katrina for several years, 1.5 to 2 years, they were taken away and then brought back to their parents. Their parents were more than able to take care of them, but when they came back, they had huge disciplinary issues because so many of them had been abused in various ways. The point being is the long-term effects of them is that these children could be used as sexual slaves for sexual entertainers. They could be used for spies, for assassins, snipers, or suicide bombers, or political positions. They are puppets because of the shattering. It's also known as DID. The issue of DID is dissociative identity disorder. If you look at the movie Sybil, that's what you're looking at. It's a person who used to have what they call multiple personalities. The child does not know it's happened to them, even as an adult. And yet with each major trauma, that adult in front of you, who was once that child, has actually been traumatized at each certain level of their life. And what you may be looking at as an adult is clearly a person who has they've been emotionally stunted because of intentional, deliberate mental abuse or physical or sexual abuse, but they're emotionally traumatized. The psychiatric system, and again, I would suggest all of you to go look at CCHR, CharlieCharlieHotelRomeo.org. There's a documentary out there called The Hidden Enemy. It is essential that everybody watch that, because what is happening is that if these children, as they mature into adulthood, and if they're compromised in whatever businesses and industries they go into, and they don't know they've been compromised, they have typically photos of them, they have film of them, doing things they have no knowledge that was done to them. They then go up into political positions, such as our Congress, Senate, and many of them are compromised already in there, which is the reason we can't get this stuff stopped. Go look at the Franklin cover-up on YouTube videos. This shows a history of the way in which people in our country in high positions have been compromised. So they can blackmail them, use them, abuse them, or whatever. And then if these people, these children as adults, who've been intentionally brutalized, are put into positions of authority, will not go along because in their inner being, they are fighting to become whole and safe. They've been overly brutalized. If they will not go along, then they'll put them into another program. Where some of those programs can go is as people who go off in our communities, the postal, years ago when they would say going postal, these were people that were pushed over the edge by what I call organized criminal trauma networks, or political assassinations, people who were set up for these crimes. Aaron Alexis is one. He talked about how he was hearing voices. There is technology, ladies and gentlemen, technology that can get people to hear things inside their head when, in fact, it is from something like a handheld item pointed at them, and they don't even know it. And this is real. This is very real.
I want to talk to you about it. Oh, it's real. I'm going to tell you something. See, I watch a lot of science. That's one of the things that we were hearing with Dr. Booker T, science and how it has to do a lot of things. Did everybody know that the new HARP system has now been able to use plasma and make a plasma globe in the sky? I watched it myself. It's being documented. They have not shown all of it. They are using so much technology, and I told y'all before, Quiet Wars, I would think y'all would look at, I just put them on here, it was a two-hour interview with William Cooper in Atlanta, Georgia on CNN in 1993. Watch it. You will be surprised what this man was saying to C-SPAN and how much of it is now happening. Now, I don't know. Go ahead.
Let's give a real good update. How about Michael
Jackson? I did on that Dry Bones. I watched it, and I could not believe it. I invite everybody to go to Dry Bones Connection and watch that interview. It's 2 hours and 18 minutes. But that was a brave, he's definitely a hero. I learned about him about 4 or 5 years ago, but I learned so much from that interview. And
well, how about Michael Jackson on the billboards, Billboard Music Awards?
Michael Jackson,
he was on the Billboard Music Awards in 2014, a holograph. And it was not one you could tell. It was a solid holograph of him performing You can go out on YouTube videos and look at it. Why is that so dangerous? Because they can take multiple pictures of you, and now through at least 30 to more different lasers, they can fully create a human being, and they could put them anywhere. So what does that do in criminology? Could they possibly put anybody they want to set them up for a crime and you're not even there? Trust me, they can do it. In the digital world, in the banking, medical, and software that I was seeing with Y2K lay down and the program management that I was involved in, and I'm going to give you guys all ways of protecting yourself, you need to get paper documentation of your children's medical records and your own. Do not trust digital anything. Make sure you have records on your banking and keep those up to do not be on your computers doing banking. Everything can be easily changed and falsified in a heartbeat. Everything. Make sure that if you have a loved one who is going into surgery, you not only have your records, but you double-check what they're doing before they do it. If they have to have surgery, you take a delible so it can be erased, and you make sure you write on your loved one's body, if they have to have leg surgery, this leg, not this leg. If they're having surgery on the right leg, you make sure you write on their leg in erasable ink, in big letters, this leg is to have surgery on it. The right leg, if it's not to, you make sure this is not the right leg. The digital world is so screwed up. And you think I'm joking. One of the Saturday Night Live guys, Garvey, I think was his name, actually had heart surgery, and the surgeon did surgery on the wrong valve. Your bank or the software industry, everything is changeable in the digital world. If you are living alone and you have paperwork, your tax or receipt or whatever, most people don't keep their receipts. All that stuff can be made.
Well, I'm going to tell you, we are definitely, we need more time than that, but I'm going to close everything. Dorothy, you are coming back. As you know, you're always welcome again. We stay in touch, and we always keep the information coming, so you know you'll be coming back to update us on what else is going on. Brother Sean, I hope you are out there. If you're not, thank you. Sister Mary Neal, if you're not listening, but I know people download, I'll let you know that we appreciate what you're doing for the mentally ill and those who are in prison. She is on it. Her advocacy show is on every night. Just go to Mary Neal on Blog Talk Radio. And Sister Keela and Sister Malika and Brother Luckner, last few words here. And we're going to end it like this. A government is in your mind. It's what you perceive it to be. It's what you want it to be. I know we are not going to be able to fight these forces by ourselves, so I'm not going to give you no heroics. But I'm going to say this. Live your life in the moment. Enjoy all that you can from those that you can. Treat those with reciprocity. Follow those seven principles, and you will be guided through this by the ancestors. I'm trying to tell you this. Everybody always goes to the ancients for some type of understanding. You stay only ignorant when you do not. And I'm going to give those of you who do know the Bible says, I be held to the thrones were cast down until the thrones were cast down, and I beheld the Ancient of Days did sit. Now, what that means in Daniel means that the principles that are the foundation of this earth, we have forsaken. We have loved liars because we hate truth. Yes. We love injustice because we love to see people harmed and raped. We hate harmony because we love to gossip, talk about, scorn, envy. And we hate people who are imbalanced because we want to keep them out of balance. We want them to keep them upset, high blood pressure, don't feel good. And reciprocity, you know damn well what's happening to us is probably our own doing. An order. What kind of order do we have when we can't even sit down at the table to talk about these subjects and try to bring it to fruition to get them out of it? And then when you don't do those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, without those six, which I told you in the show a long time ago, which would be 6, 6, 6, 6 neutrons, 6 protons, 6 electrons, you cannot create a righteous man or woman because they have not in them these principles. And unfortunately, y'all, these governments that I named, I didn't give y'all the rest of it. Let me show you who made these governments, because this is the last. See, those who hung on get to hear this. When I told you earlier, I stopped. I said the word archy, A-R-C-H-Y, means rulership. The word crassy, which is C-R-A-C-Y, means ruler, power. But I did not tell you this, the truth is both of these suffixes or these prefixes all come from the Greco-Roman Empire. So you see, even when you think the ancients ain't around, the Greeks, who got it from the Kemetic, it always comes full circle, y'all. So until next time, let's be on Wednesday night, because we hope to have another show that will be able to be used for your life, because this is a journey, y'all. Put your left foot first and stamp it out. All evil. Peace.
Peace.